It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. The Top 4 at 4 is brought to you by MyBookie. You ever find yourself wishing you could make some extra cash with your NFL and college football knowledge at MyBookie? They want to make your dreams come true this season. You got some football on the agenda tonight. Browns, Bengals? I guess you could call that NFL football. You want to make it a little more interesting? How about a friendly wager? Head over to mybookie.ag. Use promo code Knoxville to activate that double your first cash deposit bonus offer. That's promo code Knoxville to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Bear?
Gracias, Russ. The 2020 preseason, number one, the 2020 preseason coaches all SEC football team has been announced. Tennessee is represented by 5 players. We've got on the first team, Trey Smith, no surprise there. And also on the first team, Brent Automaglia. On the second team, we've got tackle Wanya Morris. And let's see, on the third team we have, let me scroll down. Sorry about that, Russell. Bryce Thompson.
Bryce Thompson, third team.
Yep.
Okay. I see that. We need more players, man. Got to recruit.
Yeah.
Got to recruit.
I remember back when we used to have we'd have 5 or 6 on the first team.
Need more players. Must have more players.
So, we got a piece of breaking news here on the top court.
Yeah. Do we need to go to the desk?
Yeah, actually we do. It's a pretty big one.
All right.
Shout out to Trey for his fascination option. According to sources, Jackson State is set to name former NFL great Deion Sanders as its new head football coach.
Wow. Quite a jump up from
football Hall of Famer.
Offensive coordinator of some rural Texas high school to head coach of a college team, not a big college, obviously, but
I don't know that I would. I mean, it's definitely a jump up going from high school to college, but the way you described Trinity Christian is a little bit disingenuous.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean any disrespect.
I'm sorry.
That's quite a jump going from Texas high school football powerhouse offensive coordinator to head college football coach. Is that?
Well, why do you do this?
Is that more like to your liking?
I don't know. Anyhow, I think this is the first step. Let's say Mike Norvell flames out here in the next couple of years.
I think this is just
the next logical step.
No.
Deion Sanders will be the next football coach.
You're insane.
Head coach at FSU.
Are you feeling all right? Are you high right now? Are you hitting the crack pipe?
No.
Are you seeing stars? Are you on a vision quest? Deion Sanders, a head coach at Florida State? You're high. You're absolutely wasted right now.
That is his goal. You're doing that. I don't know what the hell is wrong with you today. Trey, me and Trey have talked about this. We both felt like
I'm glad you talked.
He got his undergrad degree.
I'm glad he went to college.
So
that's
college.
Great. Yeah, he's qualified. Absolutely.
He's gonna need like 7 years of coaching before he could get up.
7 years.
Prime time.
You guys have it all mapped out. He's not gonna coach at Jag. I'm surprised he took this job, to be quite honest with you. He's gonna this for about 2 years, realize that this ain't the prime time lifestyle he's used to, and then go back to counting his millions somewhere in Atlanta in a mansion.
No, okay, Russ. Whatever you say, man.
You guys are nuts.
All right. Number 3. Tiger Woods has ended his erratic first round at the U.S. Open with a double bogey. He was sitting at even par, in good shape for the tournament, and then completely fell apart.
It's a final
17
now.
17-18, Russ.
You hate to see it. All those ESPN executives wishing Tiger would kick it into gear. He'll probably make the cut, though, won't he?
Yeah, he should, as long as he didn't go out and do anything crazy tomorrow.
Nobody's had like a plus 17 either. I'm looking at the highest score. A bunch of guys shot 78, plus 8.
Yeah.
So nobody's had just that. You know, the Masters, there's always like that one guy you've never heard of, or some amateur who shoots like a 94, and you're like, oh, man, rough day at the office. We don't have one of those
yet.
Yeah.
I was looking. I finally found it. The highest score by the most famous golfers, you know, not surprisingly, Sergio, he shot a opening round 74, and he's at plus 4.
Well, we do have a guy, Cole Hammer, which is a great name. American Cole Hammer is 5 over through 7. So he's working on a big number. Let's see. Davis Riley he's 6 over through 8. So we could see somebody hit double digit over. It's always a minor pleasure for me to see just somebody really melting down under the pressure.
Yeah. And number 4, I'm not sure if this was who we were supposed to play this week, but the Charlotte 49ers have canceled their game versus North Carolina Tar Heels this week due to COVID-19. They do not have enough offensive linemen to safely play, the school announced on Thursday.
They're supposed to be playing Furman this week. George Quarles is supposed to be riding as a paladin into Neyland Stadium. Emily Tekar. Yeah. Was all fired up about that, said he was going to come in here and beat us. So we'll never know the answer to that one.
How many straws do you think T-Carp uses when he sucks down that bath water?
God,
2 or 3.
What are you doing, man? What's wrong with you, dude?
Anyhow,
it's a friend of ours.
Back to you, wise guy.
It's a friend of ours. Not very funny, I don't think.
Hilarious.
My bookie, you play, you win, you get paid. What do you think of the high school game tonight, Bear?
Who do we got?
You got the Wildcats of Oak Ridge making the trek, making the long drive, the long bus trip all the way down to 3300 Sutherland Avenue.
I'll go with the Sutherland Avenue boys tonight. West High Rebels.
There's a rebellion in West Knoxville, ladies and gentlemen. We don't need no Wildcats in this rebellion. Diamond Dave Clary, you and your boys, come on down. Come on down, West Knoxville. We got something for you. You leave with an ass whooping is what you leave with.
They wouldn't have back when you were there. I don't think you guys would have scheduled Oak Ridge back in the 90s, would you?
I don't know.
It had been a bloodbath.
My freshman year, our team went to the state semifinals before they ran into a buzzsaw Marion County team led by senior do-it-all athlete Eric Westmoreland.
Ooh.
Fell on a cold, rainy night in Jasper. I'm sorry?
Was that when Turbo Pate was at West? Who was
that? That was Turbo's senior year, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo!
And then it went downhill my last 3 years, but, you know, I didn't play. Of course, Coach said if he kept trying to get me to come out, needed a quarterback, he said. I'm sure if I'd find the time, you know, we could have gone downstate. I know it. You know it. We all know it.
Didn't both your brothers play?
No. Just one of them.
Oh.
So, yeah, you got Oak Ridge and West tonight. You've got the Bengals at the Browns. Browns are a favorite at home. 4 points at home against Cincinnati. I kind of like Bengals to win that game.
I'm taking the Browns.
I kind of like the Browns. Go ahead, Trey. I'm sorry, buddy.
No, I'm going to take the Browns too, Bear.
I liked – did you guys see Burrow the other day?
Didn't have an offensive line. And Cleveland can get after the quarterback.
That is true. That is true.
They gave Lamar Jackson everything he wanted and more the other day. But
what?
They were all over him.
I didn't watch the game.
Lamar Jackson. I mean, don't mistake Joe Burrow for Lamar Jackson.
I'll have to take your word for it. All I saw, what was the score, like 34-6 or something?
38-6.
Yeah, they sounded like they were really getting after him. 38-6. Yeah, man. I mean, it was close. It just got away from him at the end. Is that what happened? 38-6. Yeah, they were in Lamar's face all day long.
It was a nail biter.
Yeah. Joe Burrow's going to get killed tonight.
Bengals would be 1-0 if they had anything approaching a solid field goal kicker.
I'm just going to watch the truck race tonight. I don't care about that game.
Good Lord, I wouldn't even do that. Mike from Bethel Russell is calling for an upset. Oak Ridge, 28, West 27.
Okay.
Put down your pipe and smoke it.
Okay.
What game did you guys bet on? Was it the
What game did we bet on yesterday, Trey? Was it this game tonight? Just straight up? Or no?
Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't. You had a ridiculous
bet. What's
the
college game tonight?
It's a crappy one.
It was the Titans. You bet me
yeah.
that the Jaguars are going to beat the Titans. Straight up.
Oh, God. $10?
I thought it was a field goal.
No, straight up.
No. That's the drive rules. We bet straight up on the drive.
No, that's actually not a rule. I tried to give you the points. You want to take them. I offered to take your money, take you around back the White Claw Seltzer, Hard Seltzer Studios, kick you in the crotch and call it even. But you're just determined to give me more of your money. So,
yeah, straight up. Jaguars over the Titans.
Yep.
I had to go look at my notes. We are good.
You had to go see if you really made that ridiculous bet.
I did, stupid actually, bet. Yes.
Stupid bets I make with Bear and Russell.
Yeah, we were supposed to get college ball tonight. It was supposed to be Houston and Memphis, but that game was postponed.
Oh,
tomorrow
yeah.
night, though, tomorrow night we got a big one, though. A big one on ESPN.
A big one.
Campbell versus Coastal Carolina.
Well, you throw the records out. When the Chanticleers and whether Campbell are get together.
There's not any good games like this weekend besides Miami and
Louisville. Yeah, that's the only game worth watching.
They canceled Virginia Tech today.
Yeah, I saw that.
That stinks. That'd have been a good one. At least it'd have been a rivalry game.
I thought they canceled that a long time ago, and they just announced that they were moving it to the end of the schedule.
Yeah, it was last weekend they canceled it.
Oh, okay. Well, they moved it into the schedule. Okay. Yeah. It's pretty crazy about Will Healy and his Charlotte 49ers that, you know, one positive test equals them having to cancel the whole game.
Wild. So I'm getting somebody sent me this. This is a tweet from the Tennessee Tiger, which still hasn't been found. And
oh,
no respect for Tennessee, so I thought we were favored in the ESPN FPI to win at Carolina. That is not the case. ESPN FPI Football Power Index gives South Carolina a 53.2% chance of winning against Tennessee.
Hmm.
And as if that isn't insulting enough, the FPI gives Kentucky, those toothless, slack-jawed yokels,
the hell out of here. No, they didn't. Really?
They give them a 52% chance to come into Neyland and knock us off.
Okay.
Something that's never happened in my lifetime following Tennessee football. I've never happened in Neyland. I've never seen a Kentucky.
Ninth grade the last time that happened.
Kentucky's never in my lifetime beaten a Tennessee football team that wasn't coached by Derek Dooley or Butch Jones, but they're going to come in here and beat Tennessee this year.
It actually happened in your lifetime when they were coached by Johnny Majors. You may not have been watching it yet.
Yeah, it was like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Still in the playpen.
Yeah.
And let's see, there was one more of these. Where is it? Is it A&M? Yeah.
I was selling Coke at that game.
They give A&M a 68.8% chance of beating Tennessee.
What are you laughing about, Trey? You don't sell cokes at South Alabama gave each other a mobile? It's a freeway into the game. Make a little money.
No, he sold coke at the South Alabama games down there in Mobile, not cokes.
Oh, yeah.
I was banging Southern rocks.
Taking rails off the benches.
Okay.
865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. So, Bear, have you seen what Georgia's done to their uniforms this year?
Yeah, they're idiots. They're idiots. Like, we would be pissed if they did some kind of stupid thing with our uniforms.
All right, so I got to try, since this is radio, I got to try and describe this for the folks who are listening and haven't seen it. It's basically, well, first of all, they're doing a throwback uniform to 1980, the last time they won a championship. And I actually think that that uniform is pretty cool. But they've also got a black.
1980, you were what, in diapers? Trey wasn't born. Drew wasn't born.
Was that January? So I was, yeah, I was 5 months old the last time Georgia won a natty.
And they tell us.
Hey, man, listen, it is funny. Ours is sepia toned too, brother. 1998's a long time ago.
Ours is a Polaroid. Ours is like you see those early photos of President Lincoln.
It's like all grainy and. They actually had to sit still for like 5 minutes to get the team picture that year. It's one of those things where the guy pulls the chain and like smoke comes out the top.
They're a joke.
So anyway, their black jersey that they introduced this year is like a normal Georgia jersey. It's just black, and it has a spiked collar, like these cartoon spike graphics, like, you know, you see a bulldog with a spiked collar, like, I'm a tough bulldog, I got a spiked collar. I don't know why that's what they sound like, but it looks ridiculous. Drew, so it looked like one of those apps where – it puts like, oh, look, I've got a cowboy hat on. Like the cartoon thing. They're like, oh, look, I've got funny glasses on. It looks like one of those things, man.
It literally looks like one of those like 14 or 15-year-old like Twitter pages that makes those concept uniforms for everybody. And it's like the most hideous thing that they can create.
It's just awful.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
I thought it was a joke.
We'd legitimately be pissed if Tennessee came out with some kind of cockamamie-looking thing like this.
Well, we had that gray uniform 6 years ago, if y'all remember that.
Well, those stupid checkerboards.
Oh, it was hideous.
Yeah, and they never wore the checkerboard. We shut that down.
Oh, yeah, the real bad one. Even Butch Jones, gosh. Even Botch took one look at those and was like, yeah, we're not wearing those.
And I'll go ahead and tell you, we were fairly enraged, some of us were, about the stupid smoky grays.
Those
don't mess with
perfection,
bad. Drew.
I kind of like the first smoky grays, to be honest with you.
The Reds, like Bear and all his friends.
The traditionalists.
I'm not a Red. Traditionalist. There's just certain uniforms in college football that I don't think you should mess with.
Get them gray uniforms out of here. I ain't never – Bear's one of the ones. If they come out in the gray uniforms, I'll walk out. I won't spend another dime with them if they mess with them uniforms.
Well – number one.
Those uniforms are all we got. That's all I got. Don't mess with them.
It's one of the cleanest uniforms in all of college football. There's just certain ones you should never mess with.
You don't mess with our helmet, man.
Tennessee, the Gumps have a good one.
That's an iconic uniform. Don't mess with it.
No, I mean, there's no reason to have an alternate.
I will walk out. I will walk out. If Tennessee come out in a gray uniform,
way,
I will
idiot.
Walk out. I will stand up, walk out. I won't spend another dime.
Damn you, Tennessee. Damn you.
That's how I talk, Russ.
If Tennessee come out in something other than orange and white, Tennessee come out there wearing some clown getup with some logo on the back of their jerseys, well, that'll be it for me. I won't watch anymore. I'll be done. I'll go shoot pool.
You're an idiot. You're just a complete
idiot. I go
idiot.
For a walk.
We talked about it off the air. You can't repeat what I said.
I'll go walk my dog.
I talk like I normally do. And
I got better things to do. Sit there and watch Tennessee playing some gray uniform.
Four-letter words per sentence and express my extreme displeasure with it.
I got
don't
better
talk
things
like
to
I'm
do.
From Alabama. I don't kind of talk like I'm from Alabama.
I go watch NASCAR.
Like
I find lots of other things to do.
Vroom, 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 vroom.
I go fishing. Go play chess. Go for a walk. Walk the dog. Go for a walk with the wife. Go see my brother up there in Union County. I do like things. Come out there in no gray uniform. Tennessee Vols. Buy gum. Come out there in no gray uniform. I won't spend another dime. Won't buy another Coke. Won't buy another ticket. Won't buy another T-shirt. Nothing.
You know who you sound like? You sound like Don. Who I will go ahead and tell you, Don, I know you're listening. You're still on the boat. You're going to be watching. Don't act like you're not.
Stay
like
with
buy
us.
A program, Mr. Bear?
I won't buy another program. Won't buy nothing. I don't think, dude. I go watch Law & Order. I got the whole Matlock on DVD. My cousin down in Savannah sent it to me last Christmas. I ain't watched it yet. I watched the whole thing. Stay with us. The Drive rages on. More Fan Run Radio. Coming up, we've got Cole.
Drive Radio.
His name is Hale.
Hale McGranahan. South Carolina 247 website. Coming up next, we'll talk Gamecocks. They named a new quarterback today. The Drive continues. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear Trey back with you. Hale McGranahan is a reporter for the Big Spur 24/7 Sports. He joins us now from Columbia, where the Gamecocks have named a starting quarterback 9 days out from the season opener against Tennessee. Hale, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on. So tell us a little bit about Colin Hill. How big a surprise, if any, was this announcement today that he is the Gamecocks starting quarterback?
It's not a surprise for folks who have been reading the Big Spur since about July. That's when our site center, J.C. Sherbert, actually got some word that we eventually disseminated and tried to, and quite frankly, just ease people into the idea of Colin Hill being able to win the starting job over one of the highest-rated recruits in school history. So, yeah, if you've been reading the Big Spur since about mid-July, you've had a pretty good idea this was coming. And as preseason practice got underway and reports started getting out as they did, it really – was clear to several people that we've talked to and others have reported as well that although unless he, you know, done some nice things and had a good enough preseason camp, that it was just pretty clear that Colin Hill was the better of the two options. So to this point, not really a surprise per se, but one of those things that a lot of South Carolina fans are trying to digest right now, to say the least.
So he's a grad transfer from Colorado State. This is Bobo's guy, right? He comes in. He knows this system already.
Yep. He's Bobo's guy. He actually signed out of Dorman High School, which is up near Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
So he's from the state of South Carolina. He's a local kid. So there's a connection there as well. But, yeah, he's Bobo's guy. And unfortunately for both of them, if Colin Hill is able to stay healthy throughout his career – and not tear his ACL three times. Who knows what's going on right now at quarterback and offensive coordinator for South Carolina, because if Colin Hill is healthy and able to play his career out, maybe Mike Bobo is still the head coach and perhaps Colin Hill's on an NFL roster or was just on one or whatever. Just a lot of what-ifs there that could, you know, if you wanted to sit down and have that conversation in the offseason, it could be interesting. But right now it's Colin Hill's job, and that's who we're going to see when the ball is coming to Columbia next Saturday night.
So what's the feeling like in Columbia around South Carolina football? Obviously, last year's disappointing season for Will Muschamp. There's talk about the buyout, all that stuff. It's too high. Then COVID hits. And just what – is there confidence heading into the season, or is it more trepidation?
I'd say of those two options, I'd say trepidation. You won four games in 2019, and that's coming off a 7-6 season. In 2018, when you get blown out 28-0 by Virginia in the bowl game. So there are a lot of people who are uneasy about Muschamp coming back for a fifth season. There's a lot that happened towards the end of last season with the new university president coming in and saying some things to newspaper reporters about considering a buyout and consulting with Florida State on how they did theirs. And just all those layers that sort of add up to the folks really just all at the end of the day are on the same page saying, hey, we just want this team to win more games. That's Will Muschamp, everybody in that building over there across from Williams-Brice Stadium and the fans and just everybody who's watched South Carolina football for the last 10 years and looks at where they've come over the back half of that 10-year span. I think folks, the memories of those 10-win seasons are too fresh in the memory for a lot of people. And the expectation is such now that South Carolina has got to be better than just, you know, maybe 6 or 7 wins in a season.
Hale McGranahan.
But let me clarify. Yeah. That's also in a normal season.
Yeah.
Not in 2020 with COVID and all that stuff for some people.
So if, you know, you throw up a 5-5, and who knows what it's going to look like. You could lose games because you had 20 guys out. You could win games because the other team had 20 guys out. Do you feel like with everything, and it doesn't sound like there's going to be some, you know, snap magic cure at the end of the season, this is going to drag on into next year. Do you think that could actually work in Muschamp's favor as far as a university being reluctant to go into a big coaching search during the midst of the pandemic?
Yeah, the search itself and trying to execute that with all that's going on, in addition to the budgetary issues that certainly are a part of it. I think that the thought for a lot of people is that it would be really hard to pull off for anybody, not just here at South Carolina in this situation in particular.
That's got to be really discouraging for fans who, you know, might be down on the coach, and then you look and say, well, you know, the prospect of going out there and executing a really well-run search and bringing in somebody better, probably not all that great.
Well, what kind of eases that feeling for a lot of people, especially once you read the Big Spur, is the 2022 quarterback who's committed, 5-star. There's always when there's that kind of thing waiting in the back burner, I guess, and it maybe eases things for some folks, but. But, yeah, people want to win more. That's for sure. There's no getting around that.
Hale McGranahan of the Big Spur 24/7 Sports joining us this afternoon. And, Hale, you know, it's interesting. I look at some of the lines I've seen. Tennessee, a 2-3 point favorite. And then we were looking just before we had you on, the ESPN FPI index has actually South Carolina favored to win the game, like 52% to 48%, something like that. What are your thoughts on the season opener between Tennessee and South Carolina?
Oof, I don't know what to believe when it comes to players missing time for various COVID-related things, whether it's the virus itself or contact tracing. I know there's been some pretty public information that's come out up that way, so I'm wondering if that's maybe had an impact on the way those lines and predictions, indexes, and how all that stuff works. Maybe that's playing a factor because Muschamp has kept it really close to the vest as far as being too specific about who's out with that stuff. I mean, he's been better about saying numbers and that kind of thing as we've gone further along into it, but he hasn't gone public and talked about the positions. And if that hadn't been the case in Tennessee, then correct me if I'm wrong, but just the sheer numbers, based on what I've kind of seen and heard, that the numbers are a little more in South Carolina's favor, is what I'm trying to say with all that COVID stuff and all that's going on with that. right now.
Hale, this is Trey, and I really appreciate you joining us, Hale. And when you look at Jeremy Pruitt, has made it known in every single press conference that he has done so far, he is talking about contact tracing numbers. I'm interested, and I'm sure you've read the articles about the numbers coming out of Tennessee. It is South Carolina, if you could tell, is South Carolina as worried about what's going on with players missing practice as you think Tennessee is? Because Tennessee was at a point where they were running a scrimmage and they literally did not have 40 players on the field, Hale. I'm interested to hear your take on the differences, in your opinion, between the Gamecocks and the Vols when it comes to players not participating in practice.
Yeah, that was sort of what I was saying a second ago, is that it sounds to me like all the South Carolina certainly had some guys that have missed practices and scrimmages and time, meeting time, whatever, because they can't come to the building even if they're not, you know, tested positive. I want to say it was around like 10 to 12 guys was the most recent number I heard as far as guys who were currently missing time. And this is about like a week ago, maybe, they were missing time because of the contact tracing stuff. So, and that's in addition to, I think, only two or three active positive cases of the virus itself. So I don't think South Carolina is as concerned from that standpoint, just because their numbers aren't as bad as what Tennessee apparently has going on. But they're definitely concerned about it. Muschamp, anytime he has to start talking about it, and as y'all know, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, good, bad, or something else, and he gets real uncomfortable anytime he has to talk about that and think about some of the issues that he's dealing with now and is going to have to continue to deal with as the season moves forward.
If you're a South Carolina coach, and I'm sure you've looked at Tennessee film from last year, or at least broke down some players that they have, what is a threat for the Gamecocks when it comes to the Vols? Where do you see two or three main threats that can make that game next Saturday real, real interesting?
Just in my opinion, I'd consider what they've got in the secondary, and I frankly haven't kept that close of an eye on who's been in and out of practice and all that stuff. And again, I'm not real sure, even if it's been too public, but the secondary is one with some of those guys who are coming back. Bryce Thompson, a local kid from down here in the Columbia area, and some of those guys and the problems that they could give to this young receiving group that South Carolina has. It's very inexperienced on top of just being young and not knowing much of college ball, they're trying to learn a new offense, and they got a lot of again young guys at receiver who could be in for a challenge facing a more experienced and really talented secondary. And I would think some of those running backs too for Tennessee. For South Carolina, a big concern coming into the season, even without the virus and what's going on, is just depth along the interior of the defensive line. And they've got a couple younger, talented guys, and Zach Pickens and Rick Sandage, who, while they're really good on paper, and the staff has talked an awful lot about how they need to be good for South Carolina's defense to be good, that to this point they haven't won starting jobs along the interior. They got a couple smaller guys, Kerr Thomas and Jabari Ellis, who are older, more experienced players, and they're good. But there's some of those younger, bigger guys who are, frankly, a little more talented, just bigger picture, maybe that's an issue too for South Carolina, is trying to stop the run as well next Saturday.
Well, welcome to the club when it comes to defensive line problems, Hale, because Tennessee has had their own when it comes to either having guys at practice or guys actually being able to step up and being somebody they can rely on week in and week out. I want to get your opinion on the SEC East. We look at this thing right now, you know, Florida, I'd say really good chance of the quarterback position, wide receiver spot, and their defense, Georgia as well, but we just don't know what we're going to get with the Georgia quarterback position. Is this one of those years where somebody can come up and maybe upset Georgia here, maybe make things interesting for Florida? How do you look at the SEC East?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to matter who's the quarterback at Georgia, because if their defense is on the field and available, there aren't going to be many people scoring a lot of points against them. So they could probably just run the ball and piece it together. It's going to be real tough, in my opinion. I think a lot of folks' opinion to deal with that. Obviously, their offense, if they can get anywhere close to what they could be, you know, on paper, because they got some talent at receiver and the running backs are always good. I think it's going to be tough to really dethrone them at this point. But yeah, to your point, that's what makes me want to say this is there are question marks on that offensive side of the ball. So yeah, there is an opportunity for somebody to come in and you know, be the top dog, so to speak, in the East. It's not Georgia. So whether that's Florida, whether it's Tennessee, somehow South Carolina gets it all together, maybe it could be them, although I'm not feeling that or thinking that it'll be the case. But yeah, I think Georgia's definitely the team to beat in the East right now, for sure.
Hale, one last question about the quarterback thing before we let you run. Is Colin Hill, who's named the starter today, is he entrenched there, or do you think with Helinski having the experience he did last year that there would be a quick hook if Hill struggled?
That's a good question. I think it would probably just kind of depend on how the flow of the game is. I mean, he'd have to be struggling really bad for them to pull him out and give Helinski the reins next weekend. So I think things would have to get real sideways for us to see a change there when Tennessee is playing South Carolina.
All right.
But that's just my opinion. I don't know. I could be totally wrong. Muschamp said it was a close race, and they feel like they could win with either guy. I think some of that might be a little bit of coach speak, but yeah, I think Colin Hill is going to get a little bit of a rain here in, what, 8 days, 9 days, however far out we are.
Look at some of the pictures on your website, thebigspur.com. He's got a little Steven Garcia to him there with the facial hair and the long hair. What is it about South Carolina? Tannehill, Garcia, now this guy?
Well, I don't think Colin Hill is quite the man of leisure as Steven Garcia or Steve Tannehill. I think he's a little more low-key than both of those guys. But, yeah, he's got the look for sure.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing it. 9 days out, Hale. Sorry about that. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. At Hale McGranahan on Twitter. You follow his work at the Big Spur 24/7 Sports. Thanks, Hale.
Appreciate y'all having me.
Yep. Hale McGranahan, one more time on the drive, making his presence felt. I don't know what to do with that, with this Colin Hill dude. I don't know if that changes the way I feel about this game, if it makes me like Tennessee.
I'd much rather play Helinski than I would have Hill.
Why?
Well, I think at least you know what you're getting out of Helinski. Mm. You've seen film of Helinski.
Pruitt has gone back and watched Colorado State film, right? Because we're assuming that that's the system and that Hill's the quarterback. So you can kind of see a little bit about Hill, what kind of player he is, but also look at them and what kind of system they're going to run. But then you have to realize that they're probably going to have a little higher caliber of athlete running it.
Isn't that interesting that such a high-profile player like Helinski, you know, and I get Hill understands Mike Bobo's offense and the familiarity is going to be key, but it still kind of throws me off that, you know, Helinski would lose that. And I don't even know if lose is the starting job is the right word, the right phrase, but I just thought it would be Helinski, to be honest with you, the way that he played before getting hurt against Georgia. I didn't see that coming.
Just feels like one of those situations that unless this dude comes here and tears it up, which I don't think many people are speaking. By the way, listening to Hale McGranahan talk, that's the first time we've ever spoken to him. Like, he did not project an air of confidence from the South, as far as the South Carolina side of things is concerned. It's like, well, you know, fans very displeased with the way last season, and really, you know, if it weren't for the big buyout that Muschamp was owed and the fact that the COVID thing is going on right now, he might have one foot out the door. That did not paint the picture of a program steeped in confidence right now. This really feels like two teams headed in opposite directions. And, of course, a win for South Carolina could change all of that. but it definitely feels like the momentum factor is on Tennessee's side.
Feels like Tennessee should go in there and win by 10+.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's a big factor, Bear. Like, it's the first game of the season. I'm sure they're going to be fired up to play. Their players will be and all that stuff. But there's definitely a more – feels like a more little more wind in Tennessee's sails.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I was going to mention about Hill, I mean, this kid's on his – he's blown his ACL, what, three times?
Yeah, that's wild.
And I'm not saying that I'm hoping
for
it.
Oh, no, don't, Bear.
I'm just saying.
No.
Tennessee has a habit of destroying knees against South Carolina. I mean, it's just it happens.
Knew that was coming. Took a turn.
Wow.
That's
take him out. Take out Helinski while we're at it.
Wow. Oh, stop, man. What are you doing?
Oh, God.
What are you doing? You know that's going to find its way to South Carolina fan message boards.
I'm just kidding.
Local radio host Bear wants Tennessee to harvest Colin Hill's ACL for a fourth time.
I'm just saying, the kid's got bad knees. You know, I thought you were Trey once said something about him being a better athlete than Helinski, but. You know, I imagine.
Yeah, how much better?
He's playing with a pretty massive brace on that knee, whichever
three
one it is.
ACL, and he's in college. He can't be more than like 21 years old. Is it three ACLs? It's insane.
Well, at least he can recover quick.
They say that guy Jake Butt with the Broncos, the tight end, he's had like three ACLs. Just keeps coming back. Did you see, by the way, speaking of Jake Butt, did you see the headline that's going viral today?
No.
So great.
Hold on, let me pull this up. This is in, I think it's the, I'm guessing it's the, what's the paper in Denver? The Denver Post, Herald, something like that?
Something like that.
I think it's Denver Post.
The headline is Section B, Sports, September 12th, 2020. It's got a picture of Jake Butt. The headline reads, Butt. Ready for some action. That's the headline. Quick timeout. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear, Trey back with you, wrapping up the 4 o'clock hour of the show. Let's go to the phones. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
Mike's here.
What up, Philly?
How y'all doing today?
Hey, man, we're doing well. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. What's the question of the day? We're going to beat South Carolina.
Oh, it's a good one. How confident are you, Phil? How confident are you we're going to beat the Gamecocks?
The last time we beat them down there, Dirk Dobber was a quarterback, and we beat them in that great comeback. And that's the last time we beat them.
Let's see. What happened the last – what was 2018? That would be Pruitt's first year.
Yeah, we lost by three.
By three? Why can't I remember that game?
Do you remember the game? It was like when Jennings had that touchdown, and he put the
ball
on it. Yeah, that was the same game.
How did we lose that? They stunk. There was a controversial fumble at the goal line, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get a call or something.
And then 2016 was the year we blew it! Blew the East.
It's
Dobbs' test. So 2014, Dobbs' freshman, or I guess sophomore year, that was the last time we won down there? An outrage.
That was the one that cost us a trip to the SEC title game, wasn't it?
2016 was, that was the beginning of the end for Butch Jones.
Yeah, and then Vanderbilt beat us. You knew it was over then, but we didn't have the guts to go ahead and cut ties with the village idiot that's at Alabama now.
Like you say, Phil, we always wait a little too late, don't we?
That's really the history of Tennessee athletics. You're telling the truth. They keep people too long. They're not proactive like some schools are. But it is a winnable game, but it's a losable game, and it all, like y'all were talking to Haji in the first hour, it all comes down to another two.
All comes down to Garantano No matter how much we deny it, it is the truth. You know it. I know it. Bear knows it.
Will
Trey knows it.
Will Keller be able to read a defense this year, Phil?
Jeremy Pruitt knows it. It's so offensive on so many levels. I wish you'd stop saying that. It's 2020. We don't make fun of I don't know if it's more sexist or ableist or what, Bear, but we don't do that on this show.
It's none of the above. It's none of the above.
It's all of those things.
No, it's not.
Very poor taste. Very poor taste. You're on thin ice right now, mister, harvesting the ACLs of a guy who's already had them harvested three times, and now your sexist, ableist rant. It's not cool. Not cool.
What about the lawn dart? Is that rude?
I don't even know who that is. Who are you talking about? Who is the lawn dart?
Brian Maurer. That's the lawn dart.
Why? I don't even understand. What is that?
Some people call him faint goat.
The fainting goat. Yeah, the fainting goat.
Faint goat. Yeah.
Lawn dart.
You know what I call him?
Every time he plays, he looks like he's been. It looks like one of those lawn darts from the 70s that you throw up in the air and it just jams into the ground.
All right, first of all, I'm going to educate you guys a little bit. Young man comes from a very difficult background. His father's in prison. He suffers from depression. He spoke openly about his battles. And he comes. You know what I call him, Bear? I call him Mr. Electric. I call him Mr. Electric because he came off the bench and he energized us last year. And yeah, he took some unnecessary hits. He's a little reckless with the ball, but I kind of like that. I like a little swagger in my quarterback. So he's going to learn. He's going to get better. You're going to show some respect because he came in there and took your boys' reps at practice yesterday, according to Trey.
Oh, he took Harrison Bailey's reps.
Took his reps.
Really? Well, why did they find Harrison Bailey for?
Is Bailey in contact tracing, Trey? What's the deal there?
Everything you told me off camp, Trey Wallace,
is how Harrison Bailey was splitting the two reps with JT Stroutman. All of a sudden, on a dime in one night, he's buried on the depth chart. What happened,
well,
Trey?
Guess who returned from injury, Bear? Guess who needs some reps to get
the lawn dart
again?
The fading goat.
Give him about 10 minutes of game time,
Mr.
and he'll
Electric.
Jam his head 6 feet into the turf. He'll be out again.
Let's talk about some real sports. I see where Tennessee's your boy Chris Dortch, picked Tennessee fifth in the country on his Blue Ribbon magazine.
Love Chris Dortch.
Like a little load, if you ask me, Phil.
I hope we're that good. I think it's a little, we're ranked a little better than what we ought to be, right? But
oh, is that 11?
No, 5.
Oh, 5. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, good grief.
I was picked top 15, not 5.
Yeah, I'm more along your lines, but, I mean, hey, these guys.
That's good prop.
This roster's loaded.
Yeah. And I see where they're talking about now the Memphis and the Wisconsin and Cincinnati going to be moving to next year. Y'all seen that?
Memphis, Wisconsin, and Cincinnati. I guess that makes sense.
Bubble stuff.
We're not going to start till late November, Wisconsin was supposed to be the season opener, right? So, I mean, that's probably not going to happen.
So, you say West has got Oak Ridge tonight?
They do.
Well, I hate Oak Ridge so bad now. I mean, it's just it's kind of, I hate it for being though. I mean,
a football power that's
fallen
on,
football, aren't they?
Fallen on hard times. Fallen on hard times. All the Big Ed's pizza in the world ain't going to help you when you come to 3300 Sutherland Avenue, Wildcats.
Well,
come get some.
I can't wait y'all get beat, and I'll be hollering. I'll be back in your face like it was the other day. See?
You'll be waiting a while. We might run the table.
He was thoroughly smashed yesterday when we let him on the air.
You go ahead and make reservations for the West High Rebels in Cookeville this year. Coming. Quick timeout. Hour number three. The show's flown by this afternoon. The show is on rocket skates. It's going fast. Get it while it lasts. The drive, another 60 minutes coming your way. Bears got the top 5 at 5. We hit the reset button for those of you just joining us. Big news out of South Carolina. They name a quarterback not who you thought it was going to be. And we got U.S. Open leaderboard update coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. The Drive.